This is Positive Business. This is Patricia Raskin, AM 790 Talk and Business. Everything positive, everything business. Patricia Raskin, Positive Business, AM 790 Talk and Business.
Hi, everyone. We are back. Welcome to our second hour of Positive Business on AM 790. I'm Patricia Raskin. And with me today, my co-host is wonderful Tuni Schartner. And she is a principal consultant at TRS Strategies in North Kingstown. Welcome back, Tuni.
Thank you.
Yeah, we had a great first hour, and we have a great second hour. And our guest in our second hour is Jude Bijou. And she is the author of the book, Attitude Reconstruction. And a very interesting title. It was an indie finalist in excellence for the Indie Book Awards, a Benjamin Franklin Award. And Jude Bijou is a licensed marriage and family therapist. She's an educator in Santa Barbara, California. And she's the author of Attitude Reconstruction, a Blueprint for Building a Better Life. So that's what we're talking about, particularly in the workplace, where it's just as important to build a wonderful life there as it is in our personal life. Welcome, Jude.
Thanks. Hi, Patricia. It's really good to be here with you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Hello, Jude.
All right.
Hi.
And this is Tuni. All right, so let's talk about achieving happiness and really having, as you say, an attitude reconstruction in the workplace, because that's where we spend the majority of our waking hours.
That's right. Absolutely. We're there usually 8 hours a day. That's 40 hours a week. That's a long time.
What are some of the things that you think can help us improve our mood at work, particularly if we're in a very stressful environment or working with people who aren't team members?
Well, that's a huge question, but let me start with one of the things that involves us, and that is that we spend an awful lot of time not in the present, but what do you think about the future or thinking about what happened in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I did a survey where 71% of the people, like 1,000 people, said that half the time, 71% said that they were at least half the time in the future or past.
Wow.
So they're not here now. They're not in the present.
And 16% that said that they were almost always in the future or past.
Well, right now I'm very much in the present. That's what I love about this radio show.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so what happens is that when we, that what's really underneath that is an energy. The mind is going fast, and so is the body. And really the underlying emotion that's causing all of that, what if in past and future, is fear. And what we want to do is that when we notice that our that we're not present, we want to shift the energy in our body and release that tension. Maybe it's just getting up and walking around for a minute. What I have people do is to deal directly with the fear and shiver a little bit, like have the hands like shake them really hard, or the legs and woo, make a few sounds. You want to just do something, whether it's walk around the block or take a few deep breaths, or something to shift that energy, because that will help bring you back to the present.
There's also something called tapping. I don't know if you've worked with that, where you can tap at different points, and that also can help to bring you back.
Absolutely. Whatever technique a person finds that is helpful, that's what they should do. There's no one way to do it. Whatever kind of strategy that works and is comfortable for you, that can do it, and just like take a little break, like a little 2-minute break for out of that whole day long to get back in the present so that you enjoy, so that you're creative, so that you're focused on exactly what you're doing.
Now, I've been known to say AIE, most of my friends, and my kids definitely know that. Attitude is everything. So I was excited to see the title of your book, and I absolutely believe in it. Sometimes we get bogged down with just being present in our lives. So it's probably a lot like exercise, right? You figure out what works for you, you practice it, and then it just becomes a part of who you are and how you live. The happiness break. I thought that was great. Can you talk about the happiness break?
Well, that's it. It's exactly what you say. The more we do it, the more we go, all right, I'm going a million miles an hour. Let me stop everything for just a minute and take that break. What am I going to do? What's a simple thing that I can do? And it might be, I'm just going to take a couple deep breaths and think about somebody that I really love.
Mm. So it's different for everyone, but I'm going to take this back. I have a co-work space that I work in, so now I'm going to remind us all every day to have a happiness break. For me, it's my dark chocolate break, I think.
Well, you also write about how to be known as the happy guy or gal in
your
office.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a little bit like that fake it till you make it.
Mm-hmm.
But we can take that little step. Rather than being silent or complaining about this and that, we can just smile. It goes a whole long way. Or we can start the day by, like, really greeting people with enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
And say, I'm so glad I have this job. And people might look at you, but it's like, it's really true. You might also not like parts of it, but I'm happy I have that job.
You know, here's another one. You talk about tips and tools to neutralize anxiety in the workplace and frustration and feelings of depression. So I'm going to tell you one that it happens for me. I'm highly sensitive, which helps me a lot in my work, but sometimes I take things too personally. So my question is, what do you do in the workplace? And this happens to so many people. And someone looks at you the wrong way, or someone says something that upsets you, and it's ruminating in your mind, to the point that it's distracting you from being able to accomplish what you need to accomplish. What tip do you have to help people pull out of that?
Well, I would do, like, I would give it a 1-2. So the first thing is, I want to get that tension. Maybe I'm frustrated or angry, or maybe it's just making me feel a little bit of anxious. So I want to move that energy out of the body just a little bit. Again, shaking or pushing or, you know, taking some breaths, whatever, to sort of recalibrate. And then what we have to do is look and see, now what am I telling myself? That, you know, it's sort of like, oh, they don't like me, or, boy, they think I don't do anything right. Figure out exactly the kind of thoughts that you're telling yourself at those moments when you're taking things too personally.
You know, that reminds me, someone once told me something about not making up the story in my head. However it was put to me, it just made so much sense, and it really is speaking to what you're talking about. And I'm thinking about our listenership right now and thinking that advice might work for some of us who... But what's the other side of that? And getting, say, leaders, bosses, to recognize how their happiness persona, or their energy, so to speak, can really have an effect on the people who are working for them. I guess coming out of a leadership conversation, our last segment.
Yeah.
Can you speak
to
that?
What if the leader's in a bad mood?
Yeah.
And you walk in and they snap at you, and you were the happy guy in the office.
Right. But it goes a little bit back to your point just a second ago, and that is to have that little expression, like, there's a really fabulous one from Terry Cole Whitaker that says, what you think about me is none of my business.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love that one.
Yeah.
And that's really it, so that we're not taking things so personally, like you say, and many of us feel so sensitive. But to get that it's just not personal.
Well, I guess I was saying some advice for the bosses out there.
Right.
That how... their energy is can set the tone for the rest of the company.
Yeah.
Well, I think that is just exactly what you say. It's recognizing the influence, how powerful our words are, and that we have a choice about if we need to communicate something, how we're going to communicate it. And as the boss, if we go around, what I say, ewing people, well, you didn't do this right, and, you know,
blaming.
I thought you were going to handle this, and all of those you statements, that can't help but be alienating.
Mm. Yeah, one of the things you write about is that to escape that negative loop from running in your head is replacing those destructive thoughts with new ones that are unequivocally be true. So that they're definitely true, you focus on new thoughts or truths that are clear and make simple statements of fact to contradict what is going on in your head. Give us an example of that, June.
Well, that might be, again, if the boss is being less than kind in what he's saying to us, we might remind ourselves, instead of taking on that you're not doing good enough or I don't like what you're doing, we might just contradict that by going, I'm doing the best I can. I'm really doing the best I can. I'm doing the best I can. Mm-hmm. Whatever contradicts that old thinking.
Because that helps to interrupt the chatter, right, and rewires your thought patterns.
Exactly. Find out what you're telling yourself over, and then find out really the opposite that's true. So shifting just slightly. So if I've got, oh, I've got too much to do, and, oh, I'll never get it all done, and, oh, you know, blah, 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 and, you know, just working ourselves up into overwhelm. Instead of that kind of thinking, the opposite might be one thing at a time. One thing at a time.
Great.
One thing at a time. And to repeat that to yourself, like I say, 11 times, one thing at a time, and maybe even taking a breath while you're doing it, will focus you back in, because it's powerful to go one thing at a time. It brings you back to the present. And then you can go, okay, one thing at a time. What's the most important thing to be doing? Because you can translate it into action. But figure out what we're saying that's not helpful. Or like if you go, oh, there I blew it again. You know, like, oh, I'm always making mistakes. Well, now the opposite of that is, you know, I am giving it my best shot. Mm-hmm. I'm really trying to contribute to this project.
All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, very helpful, very inspirational, and very thoughtful. Our guest is Jude Bijou. Her book is Attitude Reconstruction, A Blueprint for Building a Better Life. It won the Book of the Year from Forward Reviews, Ben Franklin Award, and an Indie Excellence Finalist Book Awards. And Jude Bijou is a pioneering behavioral... She's the daughter of a pioneering behavioral psychologist, Sydney Bijou. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist, professional educator, and longtime student of Eastern philosophy. And her theory of attitude reconstruction evolved from many years of working with clients to help them lead more happy, fulfilled lives, both personally and professionally. So we'll be right back with Jude Bijou right after the break, right here on Positive Business. I'm Patricia Raskin, right here on AM 790. I am with Tuni Schartner, who is my co-host today, and she is a principal consultant at TRS Strategies in North Kingstown. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. We are back. You are listening to Positive Business, and I'm Patricia Raskin, right here on AM 790. And I'm here with my co-host, Tuni Schartner, and she is principal consultant at TRS Strategies in North Kingstown. Welcome back, Tuni.
Thank you.
All right. And we have with us on the phone Jude Bijou, who is a licensed family, marriage, and family therapist. She's in Santa Barbara, California. Her new book is Attitude Reconstruction, A Blueprint for Building a Better Life. Welcome back, Jude.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, it's great to have you on. Let's keep talking about that coworker that upsets us, that brings us down. Tips for us to handle that situation.
Great, great, because I've been thinking about this recently. One is that people like that, the Debbie Downers, oftentimes have a deficit of being appreciated enough. So it's really nice to be lavish in your praise and appreciation for those kind of folks. It goes a long way.
How does one rewire unhelpful thought patterns, such as having a poor self-image? I think that speaks to that.
Well, one thing how you can rewire that is with annoying people, we have that expectation that they shouldn't be annoying. They shouldn't say what they're doing. They shouldn't say, they shouldn't act like that. And that is keeping us from feeling loving, from feeling good. So there is a truth that we can repeat to ourselves, that people and things, or you can substitute a name, are the way they are, not the way I want them to be. People and things are the way they are, not the way I want them to be.
You know, speaking about that, and this is something that has happened with me with colleagues, you write about drowning out negative chatter, you know, counteracting that unhappy thought. I've had colleagues that, you know, they're almost like investigative reporters. So you get all the negative of everything that's going on. You get a report every 5 minutes, and it can be, it brings you down. But on the other hand, I've learned to look at that and say, yes, but sometimes there's some good information in that. But it's one of the reasons that I don't always read the news, because I don't want to hear about all the murders and the killings.
Well, I was just going to say, I guess I don't have any negativity around me, because most of the people I've chosen, right, to surround myself with are positive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, we can't avoid it altogether, but...
Well, I think this person kind of comes at it as though they're a critical thinker.
Mm.
So when it's a critical thinker, you're getting an analysis of everything that happened.
Mm.
And sometimes it's not really helpful because it's not constructive.
Yes. And that's the thing. When it is helpful, I like this strategy of, well, let me, you know, separate the wheat from the chaff.
Right.
And but
right.
There's also another thing. When you get to that point where you know that you have to speak up, one is I accept that they've got something brilliant to say about everything, you know, that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But after we accept it, or from that stance of acceptance, I do need to say, hey, and then we're talking about ourselves. It's not I'm telling them that they talk too much or that their opinions are not worth anything. I talk about myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've really got a lot that I have to get doing right now. And so I would appreciate if you just gave me an hour or so that I can get the work done that I need to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or whatever. But we're talking, for me, it's the two communication rules. I've got to talk about myself rather than them. And when I need to speak up, I've got to deal with one specific topic at a time. Mm-hmm. So if they said something, oh, you're a slacker, and they said it at a business meeting, that you can go to them in a neutral time and go, I felt really hurt when you called me a slacker at the meeting. Mm-hmm. If you have something that you need to talk with me about, I'd appreciate you'd come to me and we could talk about it beforehand.
Now, Jude, is that part of the four rules of communication?
Absolutely, because I'm talking and saying what's true for me, my eye, about a specific thing, and I'm doing it with kindness, and then I'll listen to their response.
Okay. And what are the other rules of communication?
Those are all four rules. Eyes and specifics, that's how I'm going to talk, one specific event and what's true for me about it.
Mm-hmm.
The third rule, I'm going to deliver it with kindness.
Yep.
Look for the positive. And the fourth communication rule is to put duct tape over our mouth and listen for 50% of the time.
You know, there's another point you make that ties into that, and that is where you say, wear someone else's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes what you have to understand is maybe that real grumpy employer or that person who's very snappy may have a very difficult situation they're dealing with. Now, that doesn't excuse them, but it softens sometimes the way we behave.
And the way they behave. If we go in with a line like, how can I help? Is there anything I can do? Or, gee, I really appreciate how well you're doing your part of this project. An appreciation or reaching out will do so much to change the environment at work.
What do you do, Jude, if they don't want to talk about it? You know, they don't even want you to mention it. It's quiet. It's private. I've seen people like this where I don't even want to talk about that accident or that injury or that problem at home. How do you work with that?
Well, I say that you got to say your message at least 8 times, lovingly.
Okay.
So if you, hey, I'm really here to talk. If you want somebody to share about what happened to you,
okay.
And they go no, and you go, I just the invitation is open,
okay.
So that we just have to keep repeating our message. And then after a few, I say 8, because sometimes it takes a long time. But after saying it a few times, we have to let it go.
All right. And on that note, this was wonderful. We're going to have to close. But we want to let people know that this book, The Attitude Reconstruction, has won several awards, Indie Excellence Finalist Book Awards, Ben Franklin Award, and also Book of the Year winner from Ford. Is Four Winds.
Forward. Yes.
Reviews. Lovely. And our guest has been Jude Bijou. She's the author of Attitude Reconstruction, A Blueprint for Building a Better Life. Great to have you on, Jude. How can people find your book and your website?
Yes, my website is www.attitudereconstruction.com, and I can be reached right through there. And if people want to take a survey and figure out what attitudes are holding them back, there's a free survey right there on the website.
Oh, thanks so much, Jude, for being on the program.
My pleasure.
Yeah, great. All right. And next up, we will have Michelle Garasoli in the studio with us. And she'll be talking about Jamie Oliver at Home. And we'll also have another guest with us, too, Toonie, in the studio with us.
Tim. He is the founder of Jamie Oliver at Home, part of that original five-person team. And I'm so excited to have this.
Yes, I am, to have both of them on the program. All right, folks, stay tuned. Last but not least, and we're going to have a wonderful last segment for you today for our show right here on Positive Business. I'm Patricia Raskin on AM 790. I'm here with Toonie Schartner, my co-host, who is the principal consultant. I keep wanting to say managing partner.
Just call me the economic gardener.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah,
economic gardener of TRS Strategies right here in North Kingstown. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.